X Matt Quinn, director on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Got a fascinating insight into the Civil War going on in the Republican Party. You say, what do you mean the Civil War going on in the Republican Party? I thought that was in the Democratic Party between the progressives, the squad, and all that, with the so-called moderates. There is as much or deeper civil war going on in the Republican Party right now, and it has a couple of manifestations, but what I'm going to tell you about right now is one that was not widely known. The obvious manifestations are people like Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, stand-up people who got up and said, you know, Trump is no good. The election was fair. The insurrection, we got to get to the bottom of it. And they are both on the January 6th committee, special committee to investigate the origin and who was involved in terms of planning in the January 6th insurrection. Now, both of them are terrific. They have a lot of character to do what they're doing, but they're really kind of the odd man out. I mean, right now, Liz Cheney has a primary opponent in Wyoming whom Trump has endorsed, and the Wyoming GOP seems to sort of just fallen in line. So we'll see what happens next year in the primary, but that's the status of it right now. And Kinzinger has two problems. One problem is attacks from the Republican Party. The other one is that gerrymandering is controlled, and I should say redistricting, but sadly it's all become gerrymandering, is controlled in Illinois. And he represents the Rockford area, Rockville, that area around Rockford, Illinois. And the Democrats seem to be poised to redistrict in a way that would carve him out of a seat. And I think it'd be a great loss, quite frankly, to the Congress if that happens. But in any event, those are the people. So you go, oh, Matt's talking about a civil war. He's talking about Kinzinger and Cheney taking on everybody else, okay? Well, no, that's not what I'm talking about now. It goes deeper than that. The other day, as you know, Donald Trump called for Mitch McConnell, Moscow Mitch, to be deposed, to be taken out of leadership, because he didn't think he was sufficiently deferential to Trump. And Moscow Mitch blew it off, and so far McConnell is secure in the Republican caucus. But it turns out that when Trump started to orchestrate the overturning of the election by having the Congress not accept the certification of the results, and then having state legislatures, crooked state legislatures in various states, the Republican caucuses, like in Wisconsin, like in Michigan, you know, the legislatures there and Georgia and Arizona were all, and Pennsylvania for that matter, circumventing the governor, were all Republican. They just send different electors. And it's like the election of 1876 when Rutherford Hayes beat Sam Tilden, and nobody, you're yawning, having another sip of coffee. Well, in 1876, Ulysses Grant had just served two terms. 1876, the Republican was Rutherford Hayes, hero of the Battle of Antietam, colonel in the time in the Union Army. Sam Tilden was a Democrat, and he beat Rutherford Hayes. He beat him. Well, the Republicans weren't going to turn over. In those days, the Republicans were the good guys. They were the abolitionist party. They weren't going to turn over power. And so they just flat out took it away. Flat out took it away from Tilden, but they made a devil's bargain. The devil's bargain was federal troops would be withdrawn from the South, and the whole process of Reconstruction would stop. And as a result, there was terror and violence against African Americans in the South for 100 years. From the time that happened until the 1960s civil rights marches, there were lynchings at will, crooked criminal trials where people who lynched were acquitted, and then people who were African American got convicted, even if they weren't guilty. And that's the devil's bargain. Well, Trump this time was trying the same thing. He was trying a Rutherford Hayes, except Rutherford Hayes was an abolitionist and was also the hero, one of the heroes of Antietam, colonel. And I think I've said this before, I'll say it again. One of his sergeants at that battle, William McKinley, another future president of the United States. Two presidents fought in that battle, at least. Maybe there are others I don't know about, but I doubt it. I doubt it. Okay. So Moscow Mitch realized what was going on. Apparently he and Tom Cotton, of all people, of Arkansas, got together to stop it. Now, I got to say something, and this is just stereotyping on my part. I have always lumped Tom Cotton in with Josh Hawley. Josh Hawley is as crooked as a dog's hind leg. He's from Missouri. He's the guy that gave the fist salute to the insurrectionists as he walked into the Capitol. He's the guy that is holding up NSA appointments, national security appointments, until Biden fires the Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, and the NSA advisor. He's badly hurt in the United States. He is rotten to the core. And even in Republican polls, he polls at under 1%. So if 1,000 people are polled, fewer than 10 in the Republican Party out of 1,000 want to even hear about him. I always looked on Cotton as very, very similar. And I must confess it's simply because they are in, well, Arkansas and Missouri, not, you know, they're not identical states, but both of them red states and so forth. Tom Cotton stood tall, and he and Moscow Mitch devised this, that Tom Cotton was going to put an op-ed in an Arkansas paper saying that this effort, this before January 6th, to decertify the election was unconstitutional and he wouldn't support it. And you may remember at the time that it couldn't even come up to a vote to decertify if at least one senator didn't sign on. There are plenty of House people, sickos, who signed on, but not one senator. And then Josh Hawley came out of the weeds and said he would sign on. And that kind of screwed up Moscow Mitch's and Tom Cotton's plans. And so then Moscow Mitch encouraged Tom Cotton to go public and start talking about, not just in an op-ed in Arkansas, but why he wouldn't vote for it, and it was wrong not to certify the election. That took a lot of guts, because down in Arkansas, there are a lot of Trump supporters. But Cotton apparently was well-regarded. Now, I'm not going to agree with any other voter, Cotton, probably. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about a guy that when the chips were down, he took care of business. He took care of business. And that strongly influenced other Republican senators. Because remember something. They were going to go state by state, and they only did two states. They did Pennsylvania and Arizona. They took a vote in the Senate on whether the result should be overturned. On Pennsylvania, 7 Republican senators said it should be overturned. In Arizona, 6 Republican senators said it should be overturned. But the rest didn't. And obviously none of the Democrats did, so it didn't go anywhere. But I think there's a growing feeling that if Moscow Mitch and that Tom Cotton hadn't come out as forcefully, with Tom Cotton anyway, encouraged by Moscow Mitch, as forcefully and publicly as he did, enough of the others might have chickened out. Enough of the others might have chickened out. And there would have been a constitutional crisis in this country, because we still would have had, obviously, 50 votes on our side. But then you have, if you'd had 50 Republican votes to decertify, that is a constitutional crisis. As it is, 2/3 of the Republican caucus in the House, about 160 people, voted to decertify. They voted to decertify. Can you believe that? Thank you for Tom Cotton and Moscow Mitch, at least on this issue. Going to a break. The lines are still open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.